I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I have the honor of being joined by Mamie Coleman. She was recently promoted to executive vice president of creative music at Fox Entertainment, and we're going to talk all things music at Fox, on TV, and in marketing. Hello, Mamie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Paige. Nice to meet you, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes, nice meeting you as well. All right, so to kick us off, tell us what your job, your large job, entails at Fox Entertainment. We have a half an hour, so don't tell us for the whole half hour.
Okay. Well, I lead the Fox Entertainment Music Division, and I'm responsible for all the music created for Fox Entertainment, our streamer, Tubi, and animation studio, Bento Box. That includes the creation of original music for promotional and in-show use across all properties and platforms, as well as series that are produced by our company. FEM, Fox Entertainment Music, has produced a broad-spanning music catalog, including more than 200 original songs intended for sync licensing. I think we're now at 17 theme songs for Fox-owned productions, and we've created three new branding mnemonics for Fox Entertainment, Fox Alternative Entertainment, and Bento Box.
Bento.
And complementing Fox Entertainment's growing library of owned content, music created by FEM will further expand business revenue and opportunities for the organization across its own platforms and licensing out to third parties. FEM will also continue to play an integral role in driving equality and inclusion throughout Fox Entertainment by recruiting a range of diverse voices within a community, the creative community, to write, produce, and perform music for the division. That's pretty much it, tells my full job.
That's a large job.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing I think is interesting is I don't think I know of this job at other networks. I could definitely be wrong about that. But is this a job that generally people do at networks? I feel like mostly people either outsource music to agencies or each show has its own, you know, music that they put together. How does this generally work in the industry?
Well, I can't speak to how, you know, other networks handle their music divisions, but I do know I do have counterparts and we have similar position responsibilities. But we are a small, nimble company, particularly post-Disney deal, that allows us to look at and approach the business differently and leverage our history of being scrappy entrepreneurs with rebel roots. While we still work at agencies and music supervisors, the creation of FEM reflects all the strategy to take more control of our destiny and build a portfolio of content that can be monetized, whether it be music, live action, or animated.
So I was going to get to that later, but since you've brought it up a couple of times, I'll go ahead and ask, which is, so when you talk about being able to monetize this content, can you talk at all about what that looks like, how FEM does that?
We're trying to basically, we create songwriting camps. We do these quarterly songwriting camps, and we're buying out the songs, and then we're licensing it out to third-party licensors, and also like cost savings with our department. So yeah, we're just trying to create music and create a little mini label to, you know, create monetization with mnemonics and theme songs and original songs for the Fox Entertainment.
Can you talk about, especially right now where there's so many platforms and shows and just places to access content, the importance of having both unique, you know, like a unique soundtrack, a unique theme song, a unique mnemonic. Why are those things so important? How have you found that that's increased in importance as you've done this job? I'll tell you why I'm asking this. So I think
you're asking about the importance of music, like the sound and the soundtracks and TV shows, right?
Well, here's one example of what I think is very interesting and I really notice, especially this is in the mnemonic space, but both with Netflix, and you know, Netflix just had that whole conference to Doom, which is based on their sound. And then Disney Plus has that little, it's like a click that they have and you always hear. And I don't know that people notice it or not, but it's the kind of thing that I think it's, the Netflix one is kind of big. The Disney one is more subtle. And HBO has theirs too. You know, people have them, but they're not necessarily every service has them. But I do find them to be appealing and identifying. And I don't know, there's just, especially the Disney Plus one, there's something I just like about hearing it, how they stick it in there. So I just think it's interesting as these services accelerate the somebody more of them. Yeah, just that you're able to identify just based on that. So I feel like music's always been important, but I feel like it's gotten more important because it's gotten more important to be able for people to identify the service quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, with respect to that, once we, like, the whole Disney Channel transaction went through, 20th took the fanfare for the, you know, the 20th fanfare logo. So we got to create our own mnemonic, Fox Entertainment mnemonic. And then we decided to do a Fox Alternative Entertainment mnemonic. And that's just branding, you know, the actual Fox Alternative division. And then we also did one for Bento Box, you know. And so we're working on Tubi and we're working on a couple other mnemonics. But I think it is important to have a sonic identity separate, you know, from the other networks, but also like honing in on that branding the actual platforms. I think is important. Yep.
And then do you guys do all of that in-house or do you sort of work in collaboration with others to create those?
Oh, we work with a collaboration of other people. We hire people to give us, you know, do demos and we work with them, we collaborate with them and we come up with some ideas and give them notes and we land on one and we love it and we put it through.
And then sort of similarly, you mentioned that you have 17 theme songs for Fox Home Productions. Mm-hmm. Can you talk, you know, I was thinking about, oh, I can't remember some theme song recently and how I was like, oh, I know, I ran a spot for Entertainment Tonight. And all day long, I was like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, wow, I actually know this theme song. I don't even, don't tell anyone. I don't really watch the show. So I just, you know, when you guys are putting together those theme songs, how, you know, how important is it? And how do you work with people to create, you know, unique songs for each show?
For each show, it's different. You know, we worked on a lot of the Fox Alternative Entertainment shows right now, you know, the theme song. So each show is different. Like The Masked Singer has a really cool, who is that? And you're trying to figure out who is behind the mask. Name that tune and I could see your voice. They all have a different sonic identity. And I think it's important for us to have that because it, like you said, it turns into an earworm and you want to hear that resonate with, you know, trying to figure out what the show's about and then trying to remember, hey, I remember that song and I want to watch this show. So yeah, I think, you know, music, like all entertainment content is story-based and, you know, no matter what medium format or platform, we're trying to tell a story. I think it's important for us to brand out each particular show.
I think it's interesting too, because Fox has such a strong identity around music, you know, with Masked Singer, with I Can See Your Voice, previously with American Idol. There's just been a lot of music around Fox. And then even within, you know, like The Simpsons, I feel like has a pretty strong musical identity, which obviously that show now is at Disney, but, you know, that's a long history with Fox with that show. But as a music supervisor and higher up, what it must be kind of cool to work with a network that has that strong of a musical identity.
Oh, for sure. You know, the great thing about Fox is that the music has been such an integral part of its DNA from, like you said, starting from American Idol, early days of Glee and Empire and leading into the animation, you know, Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, The Great North, and into our reality shows, The Masked Singer, I Could See Your Voice and Name That Tune and Alter Ego. And the list goes on. I think it's important for us to have that. And it's been a fun ride for us to create the music for the theme songs for the shows.
So, and then also within those universes, there's also licensing to be done as well, right? And that's you, that's your team too.
Yeah, we collaborate with, you know, a bunch of different music supervisors that we hire and also, you know, some of our licensing partners that we do. So yeah, we license in-house and out-of-house for in and out of context for some of our shows and our promos.
What's the state of licensing right now? Is it harder than it used to be, or is it easier because people really see the value of placing their music in shows? Sort of what's the status?
I think some of the quotes have gone up because, you know, people are losing money, you know, licensing songs because of all the streaming. And, you know, our film team is creating original music, so we're not using as much of the pop songs, the popular songs. So, and just learning it, the scope of the rights for, you know, did the whole digital phase has been a challenge. But it's interesting. Like I said, we're creating our own music, so we don't have to license out as much. But you know, those like big shows like The Masked Singer and Alter Ego, you're clearing the publishing, so you have to use that. But yeah, you know, licensing is important, and it still remains the same. People are still licensing music. It's just a little bit less than what we were licensing before.
You mentioned about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then I know you guys, well, I don't know, but I assume you probably also work with composers and producers, and some of that is contract and freelance. But can you talk about, you know, how you identify talent to work with and how you develop that talent, and then whether and how that ties into your DEI efforts?
Yeah, so we collaborate with a collective of diverse groups of talent. Some are artists that, you know, some artists and songwriters and composers are pitched from music agencies, and some of them we found on our own through DSPs like Spotify, and just word of mouth, and you know, talking to my counterparts and figuring out who's the hot stuff and who's working on what. But we're always looking for the next big indie artist or songwriter. We're tapping into the LGBTQ and BIPOC communities, and we're just constantly staying on the pulse of finding talent that way.
Are there any programs, you kind of mentioned it just now, but are there any programs specifically you guys work with? And do you find that as you explore, there's a lot of talent to work with that maybe didn't previously rise to your level of awareness?
Yeah, so we're dealing with a couple of agencies that represent LGBTQ and BIPOC, you know, songwriters and indie artists. So they've informed us, and they let us know who's the hot new indie artists and who's up and coming, and we just continue to work with them, and it's been an organic, lovely time to work with these people, and we're, like I said, we're constantly staying on trying to find new talent.
One thing I learned, this is going to be very obvious too, but one thing I learned in the past year or so is that, you know, you'll have people who are musicians, performers, you know, that you might go see in a club, but then they also do production music on the side. Is that something that you run into a lot?
Yeah, there's a lot of, we found a lot of people that are, we assume that they're just singing, and they're like, no, I actually do production too. I'm actually a producer. So it's a 2-for-1 deal for us sometimes, because we get them to sing and be able to produce some of their songs. And it's just a great moment for them.
So back in the day when we could leave our houses, did you go out a lot and check out music to find people?
Yeah, I totally miss that. I mean, now we're in this pandemic, obviously it's a little difficult. We do have a viral, Zoom calls that we attend, the showcases and stuff like that. So it's been, that's been kind of cool, but I do miss the whole outside and engaging with other music supervisors and record label and publishing executives. It's completely different now. You're not connected, you know, and I know it's viral, and I know we're on Zoom call and stuff like that, but it's a different feel. It's not the same.
Do you think, it will come back though? Yes.
Yeah, I think it will. I just think that, you know, right now, it's tough. It's tough for a lot of people to put these showcases together because people aren't able to show up because they're fearing of, you know, the pandemic and catching the virus and stuff like that. So,
I went to one, I've gone to one concert since I went last month. No, this month.
Good for you.
At Red Rocks. It was outside, but they required vaccines. And so it felt, you know, it felt okay, but it felt great to be back, but it also, I want to talk a little bit about Bento Box and Tubi, which are two relatively recent acquisitions for Fox. So we'll start with Bento Box, which is an animation studio. They do Bob's Burgers, correct?
Yes. Bob's
so
Burgers.
By adding them, then you can tell me what else they have, but by adding them, what has that meant for what you do?
Fox Entertainment clearly is in that growth mode right now between the Bento Box, the Tubi, and most recently the TMZ acquisitions, along with the formation of our in-house unscripted studio, Fox Alternative Entertainment, which we call FAE. We also have a new partnership with Gordon Ramsay on Studio Ramsay Global and our growing library with wholly owned series like Capopolis and Monarch. But the big picture here is we're committed to advertising. We're building a path to be number one in broadcast and number one in advertising-based video on demand. And our broadcast network is the central to this strategy as we're drawing onto its power to create urgency and community and fuel our other businesses and serve audiences in different ways. For instance, like you said, Bento Box produces content for Fox, Bob's Burgers, The Great North, Duncanville, Crapopolis, and Tubi streams a number of our series like The Masked Singer, I Can See Your Voice, Crime Scene Kitchen, and Alyssa goes a little bit on. And then Fox Alternative Entertainment is producing documentaries for Tubi as part of its push into original programming this fall. So this is all exciting creative we're working on. And the opportunity for FEM has with this is to work with the best talent and seed our music across these platforms. It's just an exciting time for us to be in this business right now.
Did Bento Box come with its own music team? And same with, well, I want to ask.
No, they don't have a full-fledged music team. They hire outside, companies to do it, but they don't have a full-fledged music team. So we're assisting in ways we can.
Okay, and then they added Tubi, I want to say like a year and a half ago, which is kind of, it's a different beast than Bento Box.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I assume they probably definitely, Tubi probably did not come with probably many people. So
So
however you can incorporate music there.
Yeah, we're incorporating music there. We're working with that team, an amazing marketing team that they have over there. And they've just been so collaborative. And, it's just been an exciting time for all of us to work together.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about marketing, which obviously is what Promax focuses on. I mean, in some ways, I think music and content in general is marketing and that it reaches out and finds people. But when you think about music specifically for marketing, how are you guys approaching it at FEM?
Well, marketing is all about capturing the emotion and the intention of a targeted audience. So music is an invaluable component of the process and strategy. And, say a catchy jingle or a mnemonic, a lyric, a note, or even a song sometimes will carry more impact than the visual. And there's no greater feeling in my line of work than being involved with the creation of music that immediately connects the viewer to a platform or show. It's just, it's very difficult to do, but when it happens, man, it's magic.
Do you might not be able to do this, and if you can't, it's okay. But does anything come to your mind, anything off top of your head in terms of marketing campaigns of late where you felt like the sonic approach was especially cool?
Well, yeah, because we're working on some really cool stuff right now. We're working on some really cool stuff right now that I wish I could talk about.
Right.
But, our summer campaigns obviously have really pushed forward with the fantasy island of it all. It's a whole remake of that. So I was really excited about working on Fantasy Island and pushing that out for the summer because it's, programming for us is year round. So yeah, that was one thing that we worked on was Fantasy Island and I really liked.
It is year round, but I will say right now it feels I've been watching something on broadcast and I was like, look at me, I'm watching something on a broadcast network.
Yeah.
But it does feel kind of cool to be getting, the Big Leap premiered and here's how well it did. And, it feels normal. All right. I'm actually close to the end, which is, so what, to the degree that you can discuss it, what shows coming to Fox in the near future are you most excited about musically speaking? And I just mentioned the Big Leap. Maybe that's one of them.
Yeah. So currently, we're focused on season 6 of The Masked Singer, which is this season's number one entertainment series so far. We also just launched Alter Ego. Heard about it, the world's first Avatar singing competition and the next iteration of the musical competition show where contestants are reinventing themselves to perform as avatars. It's such a cool concept and I love the show. It's this season's number one new unscripted series to date. So we're excited about that. And just the judges table alone features some of the biggest names in music like Alanis Morissette, Nick Lachey, Grimes, and will.i.am. And then Roxy Diaz is hosting it. And then I'm really excited about this new family drama called Monarch that we're preparing to launch, starring Susan Sarandon and Anna Friel and Trace Atkins. It's set in Austin, and Monarch is a multi-generational musical drama about America's first family of country music. And we're working with top music manager Jason Owen, who's executive producer, which gives the show a high pedigree in the business. And we're also working with the talented Adam Anders as the executive music producer. And we just started shooting it. And the canvas we have to work with on this project is incredible. It's 100% owned by Fox Entertainment and it'll debut Sunday, January 30th, immediately following the NFC Championship. So super excited about all these music-driven shows. And I hope you all tune in because it's gonna be a great, great time and a great series.
Monarch does sound cool. I don't know if that one was on my radar. So
yeah, it's a country music show. We're excited about it. We'll work on it right now.
Are they shooting it in Austin?
No, they are shooting it in Georgia.
Okay, same thing. No, don't tell this people I said that. Okay. Yeah. all right, Mamie, thank you so very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I love this. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Okay, awesome. Right. Great day. And we'll talk again soon.
Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief Podcast. Please subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review us, or you can subscribe on Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Promax on @Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram, and @Promax Global on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can also go old school and email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And as always, thanks for listening.